multicultural. Pop. We are multimedia, multicultural, and pop culture as fuck.
My name is Brian. I usually go by either B Hearn or AKA the Puerto Rican Poppy or El Nino, Eagles Nation representing and lifetime fanboy.
No, God, please, no!
Ryan Saba, otherwise known as Captain Cleveland. I'm your resident Browns loyalist, Chief Wahoo defender, and LeBron lover.
Cleveland! This is for you!
I've answered to Jerry, Don, Jadon, Junior, Private, Nerd, Gaylord, Manchild, Space Boy. I'll answer to anything. I even answer to Hey Shithead for about 10 years waiting tables.
She was so sweet.
I'm the comic guru over here at Multipopsural, and I'll answer to Jadon, I think.
That's what we're going to call you, so I
yeah.
hope you.
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh, Morty? Oh.
I thought it was cool.
I don't give a f*** what you think, Jerry.
All right, I am Jordan. I go by Doodoo Brown Doodoo sometimes. Brown. That's what I am on.
Sometimes.
Doodoo Brown 3879, Fortnite PS4.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to say that shit every show. I curse a whole bunch, so I'm sorry if I do that ever again, but fuck you also.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our first ever, the pilot episode of Multipopsural. Today, we are going to be covering Ready Player One, as well as just talking about the show in general and what to expect a couple weeks ahead.
Want to take the opportunity to shout out one of our sponsors, Jeff Beal, who specializes in consulting, design, and project management of any project, specializing in automation systems. For Jeff, guys, no job is too big or too small. Find Jeff on Instagram at GEOFF_pronounced_JEFF.
We all saw Ready Player One. We thought for nerds like us, I mean, it was just.
You're a nerd. I'm not.
Okay. Dude, Goonies never say die.
Yes, okay? Thank you.
It was just nostalgia for me from front to back the entire movie, and it was great to see. But
so just to let everybody know, there are going to be some spoilers coming your way.
There was very little substance for me in this movie. It was visually amazing, but mm-hmm. You know what else can we expect from Steven Spielberg? But and his whole team, credit to them.
Amblin Entertainment.
What did I say?
Whole team.
Oh, okay. That's well, okay. You know. Thank you, my stat checker over there. You sexy squad. Little baby bear.
I don't think I've ever been called that. Puerto Rican Poppy, yes. But hey, not sexy little
add
baby
it,
bear.
Add it to your list.
Add it to my list. Sexy little
from
baby
Doodoo
bear.
From Doodoo Brizzle.
Boom. Put that
okay,
on my
so,
tombstone, please.
Okay, so I have three words written down in my notes for Ready Player One that we talked about for like 20 minutes right before this.
I am gay.
That is what you did talk about.
I did.
I did say that.
I did. I had three things I needed to, like, if we have to edit it out.
we'll have to see how the first episode goes, maybe. I don't even know.
All right, so I have the Oasis, I have Percival, and I have Artemis written down.
You know what? That deserves
that
a
does kind of, that does kind of wrap good. It up.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. Like, when I was watching the movie, it was very hard. Okay, bear with me. I understand that they're in a fantasy world, and this is far in the future, heavy quotation marks, and, you know, it's...
It's like 30 years.
You have to let a couple things go. But with that being said, I still can't believe that this kid, is the first person to have found the very first Easter egg. And after that, everyone else was like, found the Easter egg. And then the last Easter egg.
Tell us what the first Easter egg was.
The first Easter egg was when he drove backwards.
Technically the first key.
In the race. Yes. Oh, my fucking God.
I'm just saying.
Okay, well, mister, I read the books.
I read the book.
It's a book.
Yeah, just.
What did I say?
It's not like the fucking trilogy
I'm
or
pretty
the
sure
Harry Potter
I
series.
Didn't
the
make
Ready
that.
Player One trilogy.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
It actually starts right after Harry Potter.
I thought it was, well, for me, the words are so big because they, you know, I can't read so many words at one time. But no, okay, so he was the very first person to find out that you have to drive backwards. And this is after what, like, it was a couple, it was
5 years.
Five years of no one finding anything.
Right.
And with how they made it look, every single human being on the planet is playing this game. Trying to find the thing.
Yeah. But the corporation's paying people to play.
Exactly. Yeah. So how has one person... I've been playing video games where I literally run into one corner of a map for 45 minutes just thinking, I know there's something there. I know I can fucking jump on this thing.
Don't be mad at Parsifal because he's better at video games than you, bro. Like, I don't know what to
okay,
tell you.
So, okay, is it Parsifal or is it Percival? Because I
His
wrote
name
down
is Wade Watts. Wade. So let's call go him with Wade. Wade Watts. Yeah, we'll go with Wade.
All right. So, well, fuck this.
Dumb
this,
square.
Well, that's like 14 jokes I can't say. Oh man. So okay. So I just find it hard to believe. And while I'm sitting there watching this movie, I was trying to get over the hump. As soon as one person finds it out, essentially like 45 other people automatically know. And this guy who is in charge of the corporation, he sees the name on the board.
Yes.
And then he goes after that person. Like, he automatically knows who that is.
Yes.
He kills his aunt and abusive uncle. Yeah, abusive boyfriend. Not even uncle, because, I mean, you know, they were in trailers.
So judgmental.
Oh, God. Hey.
People in trailers get married.
I was going to say, and they also have podcasts too.
I grew up in a trailer.
We're
okay if you're not married.
Jordan.
Did you?
Yeah. Yes.
So did my uncle's best friend's neighbor's dog.
It definitely wasn't stacked on top of another trailer.
No, they were not stacked.
There you go. They call it
the stacks.
I think I have an answer for why no one could get the first one. I think it's because this is it's obviously in a post-apocalyptic society here. But what we didn't realize is that this is the society from Idiocracy. Yes.
Where is the Wilson brother? Not the wow.
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 I'm
wow. Wow. I'm just telling you, instead of Parsifal, his name should have been Upgrade. Spell.
With two Basis. D's.
With two D's
for a double dose of this pimpin'.
I love it.
Oh my God, that was great.
Let's just scrap this and talk about Idiocracy.
Idiocracy is,
oh my God,
is immediate.
So good.
So one of my favorite / most hated moments of this movie of Ready Player One.
Favorite most hatest.
Ready Player One. Okay, yes, most hated. So at the end.
Most hated.
So at the end, when they're great. Like in the van. Ooh, I like the way my
in the van.
So he had just found everything. He wins all this motherfucking money and shit, and takes full control over what you call it,
the chocolate factory.
So there's a knock at the door. They open the door and they're like, I forget who the first person was, but it's somebody. And they're like, give us a minute. And they close the doors again. And then they open the doors again. And it's somebody else. And then they're like, give us a minute. And they close the doors. And they keep close. And I leaned over to my dad, who is alive. And he was still sitting there.
Not especially in the audience. That he's at the theater.
Well, I mean, he's not Carl. So he was like sitting there. And he was just like, he was just watching this movie. He's a large black man. So. My mom is a white woman, and my dad. I didn't take my mom because she is. Funny.
I don't know how you're getting all.
No, no, no.
That.
It's funny because. So my dad's black, and my mom's white, and I was sitting there with my dad, and I don't take my mom to like big budget movies anymore with like a lot of action and stuff because she is the black man in the movie theater where she makes all of the noise. She's just like, oh my God, oh my God, whoa! And my dad is like a very like even though he's 6'8".
Yeah.
He just...
He's very soft-spoken.
He's very soft-spoken. Yeah.
Shit, Negro, that's all you had to say.
By the way, Mr. and Mrs. Brown, we love you.
Oh, God, they're the best.
They are awesome.
They are the best humans on this planet.
But they're definitely white and black.
If you missed that moment, that's what they are. So I leaned over to my dad, and I was like, why don't they just leave the fucking doors open? And my dad was like, huh. And that's my story.
What? Wait, doors open. Are we talking about the same movie still?
Yeah. Or
is
he talking
about
the
A Quiet
van.
Place? Because I think he jumped over to A Quiet Place.
We even got the sound engine there.
I don't even think we're on Ready Player One right now.
Because he wanted to kiss.
Oh, no, not
yes,
the
yes,
man.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because he wanted to kiss his girl.
The van. Okay. Right. The but van. Then, but then they were like, you've got all this money waiting for you. And they were like, oh, and then the next scene, the doors open again. And I was just like, yo, wait, when did they close the doors? And I was
like, hey. He's a player, man. He wanted to kiss his girl.
I'm just saying, but at the last scene, you see the doors open and everyone's cheering on the three people who did it, while the black girl who was also black girl guy, whatever the fuck you want to call her,
real racial
person.
She. I'm just letting you know.
Human.
I don't,
yeah.
H. Right.
Yeah.
H. Hey, right. I saw this movie. So.
Hercules.
So she was sitting there telling the police what was going on, and like no one was cheering her on.
Because she didn't win, man.
Well, fuck that. Well, they were cheering everyone else on but
she
her.
Plus, was the muscle.
They closed.
Let's be
fair. Yes.
Drill.
If it weren't for the Iron Goddamn Giant, they wouldn't have won shit.
Listen,
now, would they?
True that.
I understand.
That scene was so cool.
I can see how
that
you're
scene
upset.
Was so
I can
cool.
see how you're upset about that.
Like half upset.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why it's that percentage.
He's mediocre salty.
So should we move on?
Are we still doing Ready Player One?
I think it's my turn to go.
Yeah.
Listen, Saber,
the Cleveland BDS.
I'm
going to
go, yeah, Captain Cleveland. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say, look, I did not read the book, so I am just the movie guy on this, but same. I thought it was a good time. You know, I never really got bored. I brought my girlfriend who's not a, you know, she's not a comic book or
girl
kind of pop culture person at all. She loved it. The movie never lost my attention. It was visually, you know, outstanding.
They spent
significantly a large amount of time creating this world similar to
a lot of Mazel Tovs.
Many Mazel Tovs. I thought it was visually outstanding. All right, my favorite part, you know, aside from the visuals and the pop culture, which we'll get into, is, you know, and you guys are probably going to make fun of me a little bit here, but I like the love story.
Oh, my God.
The rom-com king is in the building.
Jesus Christ. Listen. Dude, Saba, your girlfriend isn't listening right now.
Thank God.
Yeah, the romantic love story.
I thought I thought it was a great part. You know, I thought it was good. I'd like to see the kid get the girl. He won in the end. He got the money. He got the control. He got the woman. You know, every man's fantasy. My least favorite part, character development. You know, it's always challenging when you take a popular book to a movie.
Right.
But, you know, I just didn't think they did a very good job at developing some of the characters, or even, you know, really all of them. Pop culture references that I loved.
Hey, let's get, yeah. Top three.
Yeah, let's do a top three real quick.
I think the Say Anything boombox was key.
Mm-hmm.
Kit from Knight Rider was in there. I thought that was awesome. And then my favorite one was when Wade, a.k.a. Parzival, was getting ready in the club. One of the outfits that he changed to was Prince in purple.
That was excellent.
And I thought that was outstanding.
The blouse on.
That's true. That's true.
Do we want to do grades now, or you want to save them until the end?
No. Let's just keep going with the you know, the top three. Going off of your scene right there, my scene, two right off the bat, as it's going into H's, you know, little garage hangout spot. Mm. You see the Cocktails and Dreams neon sign, which I thought was just fantastic.
Cocktail.
And then while he's getting ready in front of the mirror, the re-elect Mayor Goldie Wilson from Back to the Future was fantastic. And, you know,
I know
you mentioned Kit. I know we are old. Kit from Knight Rider, I thought was, I mean, to me, the DeLorean in general was dope.
Awesome.
The beginning scene, the end scene. To me, I definitely, you know how Will Ferrell wanted more cowbell. I wanted more DeLorean, to be honest with you.
Awesome.
I thought that was a major, major highlight. So those are my three as far as pop culture references and Easter eggs or whatnot for the movie.
How about you, douchebag?
AKA J-Dom.
No, I thought it was shithead.
Oh, that's what. Damn it.
It's anything as long as I'm getting paid. No, guys, my top three from this movie. Number one has to be the part at the beginning where it's the commercial for the Oasis, and it says you can climb Mount Everest with Batman.
Yes,
and you see it's kind of an homage. First off, it's the 1989 Michael Keaton Batman that's actually climbing. But then if you look at it, it kind of resembles the 60s TV show where they're climbing up the side of the building too.
Nice.
So it's like
that's awesome.
Nice.
It's sort of a
double
two Easter egg in one kind of thing.
Pop, if you're listening, you're gonna love that reference.
But that only counts for one. Number two, in H's garage, mm-hmm. You see the Iron Giant, but then if eagle-eyed fans will look in the corner and you will see Spike's swordfish ship from Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, okay.
Cowboy Bebop is probably my favorite anime show. I'm a huge DBZ fan, oh my god, Cowboy Bebop is my favorite by far, and seeing Spike's signature ship was definitely a highlight in seeing this movie. Then number three was also, I was just looking around. I wasn't looking at love stories over here. I was looking for spaceships and shit. So
you got Love Actually sitting next to me.
I'm all about the ladies. Say anything, boombox, baby.
But come on, I definitely saw Serenity, the ship.
Yep.
I lost it. I think I made a little noise that I probably shouldn't have in the movie.
You know, that's the same noise that's you're going to make when you die. Something like that.
Those are my three.
My top three. I'm in love with the game God of War, and at one point you see Kratos, as he's walking into the club, you see Kratos walking out.
Nice.
And I was like, badass. That's cool that they added that into. And second most, there were a couple of times that they had Battletoads.
Yes,
just
they
like
did.
Randomly.
You're right.
And me, my brother and I, pardon me, you English majors, my brother and I.
Who the fuck's an English major?
Your brother, Skylar.
My brother.
Yeah,
plug.
Listen to my
plug.
My brother, Skylar.
Shameless plug.
Playing next week at Stumblestell's Guest.
We play weddings and shit like that. Whatever I guess is important to you.
Jordan plays the bass.
Yeah.
Very not important.
So anyway, Battletoads popped up like numerous times in the movie. True. And I was like, that is bangarang, because that is an awesome word. And my third favorite, I'm surprised none of you guys said this, honestly, when the Iron Giant is going down, and I knew it was going to fucking happen, and the fucking Terminator thumbs up happened.
Yeah.
With the fucking Iron Giant. I'm so surprised none of you guys said that. That was probably my favorite moment in the whole entire movie.
That was a great moment. Great moment. I mean, having the Iron Giant in there was fantastic, but that moment, true.
Yeah.
I am shocked that none of us said
I leaned
that
over
that
to my
fantastic.
Dad, who is white, and he said...
Now he's white? What's going on over here?
Look, I'm inconsistent. So I leaned over, and I was like, Terminator, Terminator, Terminator. I was elbowing his chest, his 44-inch chest, and I was like, Terminator. And he was like, stop hitting me before I kill you. And I was like, you're my dad.
You guys said a lot. You guys had a lot of conversations.
Yeah, we did. We did. Well, you know, we were actually the only two people in the entire movie theater when we went to go see this. So I guess we could have brought my mom, who's black.
So we wanted. do we want to do grades? What grade
do
you give it?
I would honestly, since I said it was big, dumb, fun, like you don't, to me, you didn't have to think for this movie. It was just nostalgia for me. So, I mean, there, like you said, no good character development. I give it a C+.
Wow.
It was gorgeous. You were looking around. You're trying to find everything. I didn't really care about the story as long as the action was continuing to go on. I thought it was great. I give it a B+.
I gave it a B. I thought it was like a warm bath for 80s kids. I mean, I just really did. Like, I kind of sunk into it. I thought it was really good, but
sunk
you know,
into
the
it.
The character development. The character development left a little bit to be desired.
A warm bath with a gross old dead woman?
Like a warm bath.
Oh my God, that part
kid.
Was like,
yeah.
I was
God,
like,
God, I thought you guys would have loved that.
Oh God, it was bad the first time in The Shining.
Yeah, so I'll get to that here in a minute. So my thing is, I don't read that many books. Let me just get this out of the way. I'm definitely not.
Same.
I mean, all of us, if anything, we're reading comic books, you know, or graphic novels, not book books.
What about the good book?
Right, so I actually... did read this book and thoroughly enjoyed it. If they were to make this into a movie, it definitely would have had to be two parts. So
no love for the good book.
You know,
Book of Eli. You might
I do
wanna...
love the good book. I love you, Jesus. Come on now.
Which Jesus?
I love Jesus.
The real Jesus or Walking Dead?
Not Walking Dead Jesus.
The Ninja Jesus.
The man
is there a Jesus in The Walking Dead?
There is a dude named the Jesus.
Well, I mean,
not
I guess...
the Jesus from Big Lebowski either.
I was about
so
to say.
There's a whole lot of Jesuses going on.
Well, I mean, I guess Jesus did arise again.
You're gonna date Wednesday, Rick.
So getting to it,
you know, the book to me was fantastic, outstanding. The first time I saw the movie, I was immediately comparing it to the book. Like, the first challenge is nothing like the first challenge. The second, third, the love story, you know, sucks as far as, to me, the movie goes, because in the book it gets more in depth and you can see how they fall in love, this, that, and the other. That's so right.
not just because they seemingly have to.
Right, right. So, you know, it's the second time I went in, I was like, well, I want to see it in 3D, which was fantastic. And I went in just thinking, stop thinking of the book and go in and enjoy the movie. And that's exactly what I did. I did enjoy it. You know, as far as based on the book, it's always, you know, 99% of the time, the movie's not going to be as good as the book. If I didn't go in reading the book at all whatsoever, I probably would have loved it, knocked it out of the park the first time around. But, you know, I'm going to give it between, just not just book to movie, but, you know, definitely a B+. Visually, it is amazing. Steven Spielberg's doing his thing. The soundtrack's great. You know, I know people are like, oh, well, there were so many Easter eggs in there. They definitely could have thrown in a lot more, in my opinion. But, yeah, I'm going to give it a B+.
Cool. I'd like to take the opportunity to shout out another one of our sponsors, Bull's Tavern, located in downtown Winston-Salem. They have 24 taps, classic cocktail lists, and great bourbon selections, live music, four nights a week, and Sunday fun day home spot with Bloody Mary and Mimosa Bar. Guys, check out Bull's Tavern in Winston. And now we're going to do a little segment where every week we kind of do a little bit of an individual sort of this week in pop culture history or things that have happened around this time that are special to us. So I'm going to go ahead and start. I actually have two things.
Of course he does.
Or just like free form things you want to talk about.
And you know what? Next week
that
I
you're
may,
excited about.
He may have 10 things next week.
Next time I may have three. So make sure my bowl of yellow M&Ms are ready. So the first thing I want to talk about is 1997. There was a man, young man.
Oh my God, we're starting this way. Okay, yeah. Well, goodness.
That's how we started.
Thought we only had 14 minutes.
Hold on. Named Eldrick Tiger Woods, who became both the youngest and the first black athlete to win the Masters. Significantly important to pop culture history, sports history, society. Not to get too serious, but it was
you're
very, very important.
Yep.
And the second thing, a little less sports related, about TV. In 2011, some people's favorite show, most people's favorite show that's going on right now, Game of Thrones, premiered.
So, oh wow!
Yeah.
We
got a thumbs up from the engineer.
I just
on that
immediately
one too.
Became erect.
I have a feeling that Game of Thrones will be a significant topic on this show forward.
More so than one time
to put that in there
before next year when the shit actually comes out.
Yeah, we'll have a lot.
Well, like I said before, I'm kind of the comic nerd of the group. I mean, we all like comic book stuff, but pretty into comics. I got a pretty big collection. It's growing out of control right now. Anyway,
I'll take what you don't want.
It's under your control.
I'll be your storage unit.
Yeah, you're right. It's definitely under my control. I hide it well. What I want to talk about is two huge comic book storylines going on right now. First is called Thanos Wins, and I thought it would be appropriate with Infinity War coming up.
Bum, bum, ba, ba. Next
Thanos,
week.
Yeah, Thanos Six Wins days. Is a story by Donny Cates and drawn by Jeff Shaw, and it's the story of the Thanos from our time getting dragged into the future by the cosmic Ghost Rider and being shown his future.
God, that just sounds cool.
That sounds so erection. Like, I would love that.
So what happened was that, let's see, Thanos, he beats his cancer, which I know it's weird, but when Marvel gave him his own comic in 2015 or 2016, started out the story with Thanos is sick. And so he needed to get better. And so he found a...
Gauntlet?
No. It was called a God Quarry. And what that did was, if you jumped in there, it was kind of like that that water pool in Avengers Age of Ultron that Thor was hanging out in.
Okay.
So he got in there, and he got restored. And so after he got restored, he went on his I Beat Cancer tour.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
I mean,
shit, I would.
That is a pretty happy thing to go through, and so
I hear that
he's good now, and he decided to celebrate by taking over Chitauri Prime and took over their planet. And so while he was doing that, he was visited by the Cosmic Ghost Rider. And so what you find out is the Cosmic Ghost Rider was sent by his boss, and he didn't really tell you who his boss was. Thanos kept thinking it was Mephisto. Because he was, that's who gives the Ghost Rider his powers. And so Thanos wasn't really feeling what the Rider was talking about, and so the Rider pulled out a piece of the Time Stone, ooh, chained up Thanos, and dragged his ass into the future.
Now, wait, is this Nick Cage?
This is not Nick Cage. This better not be Nick Cage, Ghost Rider. That was horrible. No, this...
Thanos,
Ghost-
come with me!
If you know the story of the Ghost Rider, he's Johnny Blaze, and then later it was Danny Ketch. And now it's who's the kid with the car now?
You're looking to me.
You're looking to me.
You should not look to say
he's not Ghost
things.
Rider. He's got a Volvo.
Yeah, I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sorry.
My This Week in Pop Culture was about a golfer. Okay,
so. I'll get it.
If it was LeBron James, he'd know.
But no, this cosmic Ghost Rider is actually none other than the Punisher, Frank Castle.
Oh shit. And
spoiler
the plot
alert.
Thickens.
See, Frank Castle becomes the Ghost Rider.
I'm
and
cool
then
with that.
He becomes the Herald of Galactus. And so he's got the Ghost Rider powers and the power cosmic.
Jeez.
And now he's working for King Thanos in the future.
So wait, so this is Ghost Rider mixed with the Silver Surfer?
No, this is Silver. This is the Ghost Rider mixed with the Punisher mixed with a Herald of Galactus.
Not necessarily the Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer. Funny you mentioned the Silver Surfer. He popped up at the end of one of the episodes. Guess what he had in his hand?
The Infinity Gauntlet.
Mjolnir.
No, what?
I'm telling you.
Oh,
this
shit.
If you're not reading Thanos right now, you're missing out.
Okay, well, I just got so excited
about
it. Silver Surfer? Why would he... I'll just fucking read it. How about that?
Read the comics.
Next person. Did you have another thing, or is it my turn?
Just remember
the
Free Comic Book Day. It's coming up. Go
Ooh,
out. Get
yeah,
some free
yeah,
comics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When is that?
May 5th.
May
5th. Correct. Yeah, May
it's,
5th.
It's not
Free
May
Comic
the...
Book Day. So make sure you check out Sailfish, Acme Comics, Unknown Parts here in Greensboro.
Parts unknown.
Yeah, Unknown Parts.
That's what we call my penis.
Oh, those parts are known.
Oh, Lord. And just another reminder that the show is rated R. So, you know.
I said penis.
Yeah, I know, but
not
still.
Not dick, cock, Floppy Johnson. All right.
Jordan, you want to go and do your thing?
Yeah, sure. So I'm really excited about, I just picked up, which came out yesterday, I just picked up the God of War, the new God of War from PS4.
Yeah.
And it is easily, very quickly becoming my favorite video game. Story-wise, action-wise, combat-wise, like upgrade-wise, like literally everything that you could put into a movie, which is, I mean, this is essentially a play, and it's the story that sticks with you. Like, I mean, like, so Kratos that we all know and love, mm-hmm, he's the Spartan that arose, ascended to become a god by killing Zeus and all of the other ones, essentially, like literally all of them. Mm-hmm. And, now he's, when you take the mantle of him and, when you take the mantle of Kratos in this game, it's, you're still the same Kratos. You have a beard. That's neat. But I want to say it's Nordic mythology now, like Nordic gods.
Okay.
So he's
Norse.
What did I say?
Ah, expose him.
All right, you Nordic majors.
You fucking kook. So
Nordic is a piece of exercise equipment.
You know,
the Nordic track.
I'm so fucking mad right now.
He's quitting the show.
So Kratos now all of a sudden has a son named Atreus, and it's very cool because like we know Kratos to be just like merciless and just like fuck shit up all of the time, no matter what. He just fucking kills people, right? And now he's got the son who he's trying to like teach how to hunt deer. And like is being patient with him, and like no, like it
sounds like the evolution of Rick Grimes.
Well, like damn hunting. It! Now I'm gonna stop playing the game 44 seasons into it. So
four seasons into it.
It's very. Like I've got an ass load of questions, and my ass is pretty big. And one of my favorite things is there are two amazing things about this game that I've noticed right off the jump. Is that it's shot so that there's only one camera the entire game, so it's like every cutscene doesn't like pan out from one camera, so it's really cool, like the way Birdman.
I was gonna say
shot.
They Birdman the shit.
Yes, they did, and it's fucking phenomenal. And there's, I am a stickler for like finding shit in games. Like, oh, it's telling me to go that way. Like, no, I'm gonna go this way and find this little 1 cent coin that apparently can.
It's called a token.
Get the fuck out of my brain, you douchebag. I'm the one playing the game, not you.
This is true.
You're one of the people that doesn't play the game and just likes to find and pick shit up.
Yeah. That
he was like one of the first guys to beat Zelda.
And another thing, I like games that are hard as balls. And I guess Zelda. Those aren't very hard. Yeah. But like, like Dark Souls and Demon Souls and Bloodborne and shit like that. Like shit that you...
Like you're Ninja Gaiden 3.
Exactly. Like you're just thrown into the game and it's like you are not going to fucking win. So I picked the hardest difficulty... going into it, and I was like, I'm going to do all right because I played those games. No, I decreased the difficulty 2 times already.
Because back to rookie, 3K.
I just wanted to do that. Well, it says, give me the difficulty selection is give me a story, give me a balanced play, give me a challenge, and give me the God of War. Those are the 4 ones, and I picked give me the God of War. And immediately I hated it because I broke 3 TVs. I know I have that kind of money just laying around to buy new TVs. Yeah, so I replaced my TVs and my
controllers. Shout out to them tips at Stumble Stilts Games.
Hey, what's good?
Hey, come see me Stumble Stilts Games tonight. Hey.
I'm the racially ambiguous one. So
his parents won't be there, by the way.
They will not.
Wearing a rag.
They've actually disowned me by now. But
yeah, they stopped at the first.
But
episode.
Anyway, no, I'm saying this game has easily become, and I'm not even completed. I'm not even a fourth of the way done with it yet, and it's one of my favorite games I've ever picked up ever. So I'm really excited to updates to come.
Awesome. Awesome.
Nice. Look forward to that one.
What do you got, Behern?
Mine is actually, I'm a kind of double dip here. It's one topic, but, I wanted to bring up earlier my buddy, my good friend Matt Feliciano, who's going to be joining the show.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Matt and the family out there. You know, this gentleman, good friend of mine for 22 plus years now, had a heart transplant last year, just came up on the 1 year anniversary. He got his sternum closed up. With 4 plates, so he's kind of like the Wolverine of the group with little adamantium, you know, all that stuff.
Slash Iron Man.
Exactly. Matt, we love you. Can't wait to have you on the show. So my kind of,
he's cute, too.
You look good. You know, you got the Puerto Rican jeans.
What brand are those?
So I'm going to talk about the 24-year anniversary of one of his and I's favorite albums, Nas Illmatic. You know, I met Matt on the school bus. Literally my first day of school when I moved down here. It was one of those things to where back in the day you kind of could hear music come from other people's headphones. And you would do it on purpose just to see what they were listening to.
So him and I... You're just nosy, bro.
Yeah, that's just you.
So him and I immediately hit it off, you know, just with Wu-Tang and everything else. And, you know, Nas-O-Matic is one of the best, not just debut albums of all time as far as hip-hop goes, but also just one of the best albums. You know, the production credits include DJ Premier, Q-Tip, Large Professor, Pete Rock, LES, and Nas himself. As far as sales go, surprisingly, it only sold about 60,000 units its first week and didn't go platinum until 2001. But the influence has been far-reaching. Today, for Record Store Day, actually, they came out with the Nas Symphony version of Illmatic that he recorded
on
live
vinyl?
In New York on vinyl.
Oh,
yeah. So Matt went today and picked that up.
That's with an orchestra.
Oh
playing?
Yeah, full orchestra. Dude. Playing the whole Illmatic album.
Shit.
So it's actually on Spotify right now if you want to listen to it. I listened to it a little bit at work yesterday, and it is outstanding. But just a couple fun facts about the album. New York State of Mind was recorded in one take, and that's one of my favorite tracks on the album. Large Professor actually offered the beat to halftime to Busta Rhymes, and he ended up passing on it. Mm. It's one of the first albums, I wouldn't say first albums, but it's one of few albums, especially at the time, to get a 5-mic rating from The Source, which The Source, especially back in the day, that was like the
church.
Yeah, the church of hip-hop. Like, you would get Source magazine to see what they thought about any album coming out. And for that to have 5 mics was huge, especially, you know, him putting Queensbridge on the map.
Queensbridge.
You know, Jay-Z used a sample of World Is Yours on Reasonable Doubt, his first album. AZ was able to negotiate his first contract literally off of just, like, 2 verses on Nas's CD. And then it did finally go platinum in 2001. So just wanted to talk about the album, talk about Matt.
definitely, if you can, hey, Puerto Rico, you know, if you can get your hands on the orchestra album, definitely do it. If not, go on Spotify, check it out. It is a masterpiece, just like the original is.
It's fire, as the kids are saying nowadays.
It is lit.
It is lit?
Or is it still on Fleek? Are they still saying
that? I don't
think
anyone said that for 40 years now, Brian.
I would say 4 months.
All right, let's...
So what do we got next week?
Oh,
Infinity War!
Yeah, or whatever, we'll go and start here. So anyway, so Matt will be joining me next Thursday. If you are out at the Palladium Cinemas here in High Point, North Carolina, we're going to be there at 5 p.m. just kind of getting some pre-movie interviews with some fans, kind of getting some reactions as far as what you think is going to happen, who's going to die, predictions, this, that, and the other. So we'll be there at 5 o'clock, and then we're going to broadcast that show probably beginning of next week, and then the week after... You're going to have 1 week to go watch the movie, because if you're a true fan, you're going to see it within the first week.
Fuck yeah.
Because after that, we're covering Infinity War.
I'm going Thursday.
Exactly. We're going Thursday. I'm probably going to go again and take my kid to go see it Saturday.
Oh, my God. You have a kid?
Yeah.
Lame.
Listen, says the guy who's hung out with my daughter.
Yeah, no, she's
and
awesome.
Probably,
shit.
Yeah, she is
the actually
coolest.
Really freaking cool.
We all hung out
cool.
in New York, like,
yeah, she is the coolest.
If you don't want to pay to see the movie and just want to listen to our awesome review, I mean, that's
yeah,
that's
yeah, I mean, cool. You can too. Do that too, and then just pay us.
There's definitely that option.
We can do the entire movie in 20 minutes. I guarantee it.
Tony Stark.
Are you how it starts.
Doo-Doo Brown is Tony Stark.
Are you mucking me?
Billionaire genius Flynn. Fuck out of here.
As long as I'm not Doctor Strange, I'm happy as hell.
I'll be Spider-Boy.
Boy.
Spider-Boy!
Gate City Growlers, they have 20 taps. They specialize in small North Carolina breweries and specialty craft beers. Working with the little guys since 2015. Guys, please, stay local. Take care of the local shops.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Multipop Troll. And when I say another, I mean the very first one. So I am Jordan Brown, a.k.a. Doodoo.
I'm Jadon, the comic nerd.
Ryan Saba, Captain Cleveland.
Brian H., a.k.a. Behern, a.k.a. Puerto Rico's finest. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you tune in next week. Same bat channel, same bat place.